Well, that's good. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Somebody said today, enjoy the last day in your 20s. So a break to the 30. Break to the 30 mark tomorrow. Pastor Gary asked me to share lessons that I've learned in ministry. And, you know, I think it's appropriate that this week is a busy and an active time of ministering for the church, Vacation Bible School. Just last week, there where we're at West Monroe, we went through and survived Vacation Bible School. And, you know, had a great opportunity. It really is a great opportunity to minister Christ to these kids. But it is a very, very busy time. And I just want to start by reading, as we talk about tonight, lessons that I've learned in ministry. I want to start by some introductory remarks and also reading a passage found in 1 Timothy. So if you'd like to turn there with me, 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. Timothy is certainly a follower of Christ and a learner under the teaching and ministry of Paul. And Paul, in some of his final words too, as we see approaching the final days of Paul's life, Paul has something he wants to share to Timothy. We know that this is kind of proceeding. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." It's kind of interesting as Paul talks about his ministry, that the Lord put him in ministry, and talks about how he was a blasphemer, how he was devoted to sin, did this, as he says, and ignorantly in unbelief, but then closes in praise to the Lord. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we think about lessons learned in ministry. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you have called me into ministry. And Lord, you've called us all to minister. To minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that as I share about the lessons that you have taught me, Lord, that you would open our hearts. As I give a testimony, may it be a testimony of praise to you. You have started a good work in me, in all of us, and you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Just to kind of some introductory remarks about my ministry, I'm not really good with dates. My wife can attest to that and times. I think it's been around 10 or 11 years, maybe 11 years I've been in ministry now. Seems odd to say it that way, but time is flying. But just part of my testimony, I accepted Jesus Christ and as my personal Savior. Shortly after that, reading in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was in the synagogue quoting from Isaiah. And in that particular passage, that's the passage the Lord used, and my personal devotion with the Lord called me into ministry. And I was not raised in a church. I went to church occasionally, didn't have much background in church, so I was a new believer. starting this new journey. And shortly after that, the Lord called me into ministry and started attending Fruitland, and where I met Jessica, and also graduated from Fruitland 2 years later. And a month after that, I was in actually it was bivocational, but they considered me full-time ministry and at Bethel Baptist Church. And I think at the ripe age of 21, wasn't it? I started when I was 21, and shortly after that I turned 22. So, as they say, wet behind the ears, young. But this was the ministry that God had called me to. And certainly I can attest that there have been many lessons that I have learned in ministry. But tonight I just want to share a few of those lessons that God has taught me. And first and foremost, I'd like to say, you know, it's wonderful to know that God didn't call us because we're perfect, but He makes us perfect. And His mercy endures forever. I've messed up many a times and blown it many a times, but God has been gracious and merciful. And I just thank the Lord that He has. You know, as I thought about some of the lessons, these do not come in any sort of priority. These are just some things that I jotted down about things that I know the Lord has taught me. Some of them, you're going to say, are very simple, and we may have heard them, but you know, there just comes a point in time where God exposes our sin, and He helps us see that sometimes we do things for the wrong reasons. I can remember one of the lessons that the Lord taught me was that, you know, the Lord really doesn't need me. And, you know, I was young, walking in the ministry and that God had called me into. And sometimes we find ourselves filled with pride. You know, and one of the qualifications of an elder was that he would not be a novice lest he be filled with pride. And I remember struggling with pride and realizing as God began to expose my sin that He didn't need me. But it's wonderful to know that He can and does use us. And, you know, God calls us into ministry. God calls us to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to invite you to turn to several passages, and I'll give some testimony. I'll give some illustrations. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. As you're turning there, Jessica and I remember as God moved us from, we felt like the Lord had led us from Bethel Baptist Church to Southside. You know, one thing I found out is that church still kept going. They didn't really miss a beat. And Jessica and I, we sat down, we actually had a serious conversation about this, and we, you know, we come to the grips with something. We really are replaceable. We really are. You know, it seems so small. Yet it's very easy to allow ourselves to be filled with pride, as if we're God's gift to the earth. And truth be known is, God doesn't need me. God doesn't need us. Thankfully, He's chosen to use us. And by His power, working through us, God uses us for His glory. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 26, you know the story of the church of Corinth and how they were struggling with selfishness and self-centeredness. And you know, in chapter 1, you find them divided. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. And Paul comes to them and listen to what he says in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh... Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory only in the Lord. You know, I read over this passage, when my God exposes my sin of pride and who I really am, and I begin to view myself in proper terms as a sinner who needs the Lord, I realize something. This calling that the Lord has given us, I take great comfort in this. Not many wise. Oftentimes God reminded me of my past. Some of you know that some of my story. Math is a huge struggle for me. And education was, period. But my wife can also attest to that one. She had to help me a lot. But I was in resource in high school, learning disability. And God oftentimes reminded me of where He brought me from, putting me into the ministry, and helping me realize, you know, not many wise or noble are called. So that we would not glory in our flesh, but only in Christ. One of the most valuable lessons that God began to teach me was, again, God doesn't need me, but He can and chooses to use us. And may I not glory in my flesh, but may I glory in Christ, lifting up Christ. Because I am replaceable. I began to learn, I don't know as much as I think I know. Coming out of Fruitland, oh yeah, I've had 2 years of training, I'm ready. I wasn't quite ready. But you know, God gives us grace. God gives us grace. I remember the first sermon I preached at Bethel. I remember Pastor Gary sharing a story with me one time about John MacArthur preaching on the Antichrist and the nationality of the Antichrist, and how the next week after that particular sermon, John MacArthur had to come and correct what he said. Well, the first sermon I preached at Bethel, Jessica was there as well as her grandparents, and I just walked away and I felt like I blew it with that particular passage. And, you know, but thankfully the Lord is merciful. Shall I continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid, but the Lord is merciful. And He has called me into ministry. Does it need me? But He can and chooses to use us. And that was one of the lessons that I began to learn as in ministry. And something else that I began to learn, and that is ministry is really not about me entertaining or even solving everyone's problems. You know, a lot of people come to you with problems. And a lot of people want to be entertained. We live in a world of entertainment. But ministry is not about me entertaining others or solving everyone's problems. One, I can't solve everyone's problems. Wouldn't have the money, probably wouldn't have the knowledge or the ability to do it. But ministry is really about me coming and saying, man's real need is Jesus Christ. And I need to point people to Jesus Christ. You know, I thought about the story of Philip and the eunuch. You remember that story? Philip is sent by the Lord, finds himself along a path where an eunuch is coming, and this eunuch is actually inquiring about the Lord. And the Bible says that when Philip got up into the chariot with this eunuch, the Bible actually tells us that from that point in Scripture, he began to expound Jesus to this eunuch. He was really pointing him to Christ. And that's what our job is in ministry. God began to really show me, because we get caught up in this world, and there are a lot of people that are focused on entertaining others. And it's easy to get caught up in trying to entertain or solve everyone's problems. Well, I can't. But I can point them to Jesus Christ. God's given me His Word, and I can begin to teach His wonderful truth, share His truth with others. And let God do the work in their lives. You know, and I struggled. Believe it or not, there are actually pressures on pastors. People actually put pressures on pastors that you got to meet a certain quota. You got to bring the people in. What's going to bring these people in, Pastor? They start asking those questions. What program are we going to start today that's going to actually bring those people in? And they'll start asking these questions, and you have a choice. It's going to be about entertaining others. You know, there are people who are wanting you to entertain them. You know, it's interesting that our society they're okay as long as you don't pray or mention the name of Jesus. They're okay. When you mention the name of Jesus, that's where the trouble begins, often. But we're not here to entertain. We're not here to just establish programs. We're here to point people to Jesus Christ, and we can't solve everyone's problems. But you know, Jesus can help them. Jesus is what they need. We need to point them to Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that God began to deal with my heart about. Jason, are you trying to meet a quota? Are you trying to fit in and entertain? And Jason, you can't really solve their problems. But what you can do is point them to me and point them to Jesus. When I look in Scripture, our job is to point them to Christ. Our job is to point them to Christ. That's something that's so valuable to know about in ministry, because it's really not about us. You know, and it's also not about them. Let me qualify them. That's those you're ministering to. This is about Christ. Their need is Christ. Our need is Christ. And see, this keeps us balanced. It keeps us focused on the real reason of ministry. Because when we make it about ourselves, we're looking for instant gratification possibly, and we're looking for what we can gain from them. You remember the stories in Scripture in Philippians. You can also recall at times in the New Testament where Scripture exposes those who are doing this for sordid gain. What can they get out of it? Well, that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is sacrificing and showing them the selfless love of Christ. So it's not about me. It's not about my sense of gratification. It's not about what I can gain. And you know, I'm just going to make some statements here. You can't be afraid to lose people, lose friendships. Because the truth of the matter is, my greatest need as well as theirs is Jesus. See, if we're so afraid to lose, we've made it either about us or about them. But I want you to turn with me to Colossians, and one that we have heard and shared with each other before. Colossians chapter number 3, we'll read verse 17 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with all your might. As to the Lord and not to men. So you see, we understand it's not for them. This is for God. We're doing this for God. And we're letting God use us as a vessel for His glory to minister to them. So easily to shift our focus, and that's what I found. It's so easily to shift my focus from God to them or me. We have to be very careful. This is one of the lessons that God began to teach me. You know, I found myself flattered when people come up and say, good job today, good job. You know, the more I began to grow in my relationship with Christ, the more I realized I'm just as messed up as they are. Quite frankly, probably worse at times. You know, Paul would actually say, I am the chief of sinners. In that very passage that we read, Paul would say, I am the chief of sinners. I found myself flattered. But who am I? I'm nobody. The whole scheme of things. God has chosen me. God has called me into ministry. So we realize it's not about us. Quite frankly, we're wicked. But it's about Jesus Christ. And if we could some way, as Pastor Gary said one time about, I think it was John MacArthur that said this, and you had shared with me, ministers of the gospel, ministers of God's word, our job is like a waiter of tables. Just get it to the table without messing it up.
let's just convey to them Jesus Christ. We're teaching them about Jesus Christ. That's their need. It's not for us. It's not for them. We do this for God. Well, it keeps us focused.
God began to teach me that simple but yet wonderful truth. You know, and it really is liberating if you begin to live not for us and not for them, but you're doing this for the Lord. Because there's that second step that we can find ourselves in when we're doing it for us or we're doing it for the Lord. Because there are times where, you know, I look for that gratification from man and they didn't give it. I look for that flattery, but I couldn't find it. And there's also that sense of I was looking for the results or the success, we call it. What would happen as a result? Well, sometimes they hear it, but they don't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, they turn against you and away from you, even for the truth. Well, here's something God began to teach me, and that is, not everyone will like you and support you for the truth, but the truth still matters. This is still about Jesus Christ conveying His truth. You know, here I was, mind you, I didn't grow up really in church. I really didn't have a perception, persona, so to speak, of what church was really like. I just knew we're supposed to love Jesus. And I was around a bunch of guys and people who loved Jesus, or so-called loved Jesus at Fruitland. New believer went right into Fruitland. Well, I came into the pastorate, and you know what I found out? Not everybody loves Jesus. And not everybody will like you for loving Jesus or sharing the truth with them. I'll remember, and Pastor Gary will remember, because I tell you, praise the Lord, he was so willing to give up his time because we spent hours on the phone and seeking his counsel as God would lead him. But I remember at that church trying to raise the standards on what it was to be a deacon, focusing on character. And I remember being there, and as I was raising those standards, resistance came. Resistance came. Well, I became the enemy. And I became the accuser. I became the one that they would attack. And you begin to see the people, it was not about character to them. It was about, are we going to keep them? Maybe they put something in the offering, I don't know. For whatever reason, it was not about the character. And so I was trying to raise the standards to what I thought God had told us in His Word. And yet, they were rejecting it. And despising it. And not desiring it. And I found myself, wow, my eyes had been opened. But you know, the truth still mattered. And this is, you know, we have to speak the truth in love. And let everything that we do be done out of love. Let me give a little bit more about the background of the situation. The person was doing something not only to defile their body, but something that I'd seen take the life of one of my family members. This was about God's truth, but I saw my family member, as a result of the sin in their life, struggle at their point of death. And it was a horrible death. And I remember just thinking in my mind as I began to share and talk to this person who was rejecting the truth of God, rejecting the standards of God, and rejecting even what I was trying to share with him. And I remember thinking to myself, if you only knew. Because the truth of Christ is what they need. The truth of Christ will set them free. But the results are not in my hands. They're in God's. We just need to share the truth. And God began to deal with me. And then I went from Bethel to Southside, and my eyes were opened even more. To a young man. Well, he wasn't young. He was in his 50s. Been married right at 40 years. No, it was over 20. It was right, actually 30 years, come to think of it. They got married when they were very young, and he was in his 50s. 50s. 50s young. 50s young. Yes.
and had a beautiful family, a loving wife who had physical problems. But a young lady in the church was going through some difficult times, and her husband had left her. She was over 20 years younger than him, and you know the story. There began an adulterous affair. And I remember sharing with that person as I confronted them in their sin. And you know, I got a call from one of their family members telling me, because I was sharing the truth of God's Word, that I needed to back off because I was leading them down the road of suicide, as if I was the cause. No, it was their sin. And the truth still matters. I struggled. I'm still in my early 20s. Wow. And then the same place, I began to counsel a father's daughter who's about to be married. Find out that the person that she's to marry, she's a Christian, the person she's going to marry is not a believer. And using drugs. This person's using drugs. So I counseled them that I would not marry them. I, of course, shared the gospel with that particular person that was lost, fiancé, did not respond to the gospel. Counseled them that I would not marry them, and began to go before the leaders in the church and say, this marriage should not be done here. And I had people look at me in the face and say, Pastor Jason, we know it's wrong, but for the sake of not losing someone, we're going to let it happen. And I remember just weeping. But the truth still mattered. The truth still mattered. Ministry is about us sharing the truth of Christ. Us sharing the truth of Christ. You may lose some. You know, a month after they were married, the daughter was no longer in church. And you know who they wanted to blame? They wanted to blame me. They wanted to blame me. But my job was to share with them and warn them. And I did. But I trust God. You know, Jessica and I had many conversations in those times. And, you know, I'd look to Jessica and I'd say, honey, this is really about the truth. And God is my defense. God is my defense. Who are we going to trust in? It's a short step for we begin to trust in ourselves and try to manipulate the situation. And quite frankly, we mess it up even more when we do that. And I tried sometimes to manipulate it. I tried to save it, but you know, I couldn't. I began to learn I couldn't save the situation. What was important was me to focus on what God had called me to do. And that was to share the truth with them, the truth of Christ, and to warn them. And to stay focused of what God had called me to do. So we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. Not everyone will like you and support you for the truth, but you can't be afraid of losing people. You can't be afraid of what they would say to you or do to you. You just have to focus on Jesus Christ and being faithful, pointing people to Jesus. God began to teach me that. And there were some, you know, Pastor Gary can probably remember, my wife can attest, there were some nights where my heart was broke. And you know, you deal with a sense of rejection, and you deal with those things, and I found my heart broken, and I was weeping. But I realized it wasn't about me. This was about more than that. This was about their rejection of Jesus Christ. And that was the hardest and saddest part of it all. It may not accept you or like you or support you for the truth, but the truth of Christ still matters. Something else that I began to
learn and that is that God in His Word is really the power that changes people's lives. It really is. I can't change anyone. My cute stories or my ability to speak, even that is from the Lord. But, you know, I can't really change anyone. I'm reminded of the verse that I quoted in my prayer, He who began a good work in us will complete it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As Romans chapter 1 says. And, you know, I learned it. Really, I just need to really immerse myself in the teachings of God's Word. And really understand and seek to understand, as Proverbs would say, as a searching as for a hidden treasure. Longing to know the truth of God, to know God, and know what His Word is saying. The more I concentrate on that priority, the more equipped I am in pointing others to Christ. You know, I'll say this. We have been blessed. I praise the Lord for communication of God's Word clearly and accurately. And to think about learning Scripture. Now, in all of my schooling, inductive Bible study was a small portion of that, but not to the extent that I've learned even here at Family Bible. And you know, I was talking to someone just this week about Daniel, Josh. About Daniel. Talking to a parent about Daniel. And, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the prophecy of Daniel, which is a good thing. It's great to understand what that prophecy is saying. But to understand that that book has a theme and has a purpose behind it. And to understand that and walk through that book and begin to see Scripture come alive even more. When you understand, hey, Daniel's about integrity. Evil's reigning. It's about integrity maintained. You know, and I share with them just that simple but yet wonderful truth. They looked at me and they said, you know, you need to write down points for parents. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a tragedy. It's not anything to be flattered about. It really is a tragedy because people really don't understand Scripture. But the more I understand God's Word, not only the more am I changed through the power of Christ, but the more applicable I begin to see and more alive in my life and the lives of others, God's Word becomes. And God does the changing in people's lives. You know, it's this inner sense of entertainment and wanting to entertain others. You know, I say this, you know, not my cute stories that I can come up with or find online. Just really teaching them God's Word. Really teaching them God's Word. You know, in the past few months, God has even been opening my eyes even more to that. This is even a lesson I've been presently struggling with and learning. I began to share in Philippians, a book that deals with unity in Christ. And I began to share in Philippians to the congregation that I'm currently am ministering with. And I remember just overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, understanding the theme of that book and begin to walk through and how it shows me how to have unity in Christ with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I was overwhelmed. It was so applicable and so alive. And as I conveyed Scripture, I felt like I was more able to communicate God's Word in such a clear way and simple way to those people that I was sharing with, all by these practical tools that I learned about inductive Bible study. Now, let me say, it's not the tools that open your heart, it's God. He's longing for you to have that desirous heart, searching for Him, as it were, hidden treasure. And the more you find yourself immersed, just longing to know God, as even Paul would say in a book that deals with unity, that I may know Him, that I may know Him. See, one of the keys to us having unity in Christ is our individual, personal growth in Christ. Very simple, but, you know, we get so caught up in
trying to manipulate and coerce everyone else's growth that we sometimes forget our own. And we lack the true devotion in our own lives. Well, here's another yet simple but wonderful truth about how we can even have unity in Christ. And you begin to see, as I was overwhelmed with, once again, God's Word is inexhaustible and alive. And God's Word, has been teaching me, just give them my Word. Just give them my Word. If I can make it simple, just give them my Word. I'll do the changing. And God was teaching me that wonderful lesson. So it was encouragement to me. And by the way, I'm still in the discipleship program. I haven't finished. I find myself getting caught in one book and I can't let it go, which is a good thing. You know, it has that effect on us, doesn't it? Still in discipleship. Lifelong process. Well, I'm going to close with this final thought, and I want to take you back to 1 Timothy. Back to 1 Timothy. It deals with the order of the church, and we know that 2 Timothy was really close to the latter part of Paul's life, handing over the baton. 1 Timothy, kind of the order of the church. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Let's actually back up in verse 14. It says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, completely, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." See, we need to immerse ourselves. Not only are we saving ourselves, we're saving those who hear. Because we realize what's really important. And one of the things that Paul tells him here, depending on the translation, is really pay close attention to your own walk and the teachings of God's Word. Really is important. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19, Paul tells Timothy, you know, having faith and a good conscience which some have rejected. The sincerity of their faith they have rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. It's also that we find that Paul tells Timothy, Demas, having loved this present world, forsook the ministry. We realize that we've got to keep our priority essential, and that is growing to know the Lord through the teaching of His Word. And as we grow, we're not only saving ourselves, but we're saving those who hear. So easily for us to be entangled. So easily for us to be ensnared. You know, he actually tells him to wage the good warfare. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." Hey, it is a battle to keep our hearts sincerely devoted. But we must. God began to teach me. I've got to focus on, really. And you know, there's a lot of demands, especially in ministry, whether you know that or not. There are. Sometimes we put them on ourselves, put more demands than we should. But truth is, we got to pay a close attention to our own walk. Is it done in sincerity? We've got to ask ourselves these questions. Is this done in sincerity? Is this done for the Lord? Are we taking priority for our own walk with Christ? Or are we asking those questions, you know, God, what are you teaching me? We have to ask those questions. You know, ministering, sometimes we find ourselves always asking the question, what are you teaching them? But I've got to walk it and live it. And I need to grow. Not only am I saving myself, I'm saving those who hear. So God began to teach me those questions. You know, I was preparing. I remember, as Pastor Gary does, prepares 3-4 messages a week to those that I'm communicating to. began to lose sight, to meet a demand of a message every week. I began to lose sight, and sometimes we can. Even on growth, we're starting, we immediately begin to think about that person, and God may be using that passage to help minister to that person, but how does it relate to me? What is God doing in my life? How's God dealing with me and my sins through this passage? And I had to ask those questions and focus on my own walk with the Lord. So important. And God has been teaching me these things. These are just a few things that God was teaching me God called me into ministry. But most of all, may we just point people to Jesus Christ. He's what they need. Pastor Gary? Okay.
If you had an altar call, I'd have a
word. Well, let me just say, is there any questions at this particular juncture before I give the Lord in prayer about lessons learned in ministry? Yes, Kim. Yeah, there were definitely those times, and saying to myself, "I'm not ready for this." I jumped in way over my head, you know. But I came back to the truth that God just spirit just overwhelmed me that you just stand firm, be unmovable, unshakable. And there was times that I questioned it. There was times that I doubted. Quite frankly, in my flesh, there was times that I said, I'm going back to fishing. But I knew I couldn't do that. One of the lessons I could have shared that I think has been the most valuable is someone asked me when I accepted, God called me in the ministry, and I began to share that to my pastor at the time. I said, I sense God called me in the ministry. He said, can you do anything else and be happy doing it? I was a new believer. I didn't even know what that statement meant. But I know now, because I really can't. That is my calling. And that's what God has called me to do. Becomes irrevocable, and that's what I want to do. And I find myself, unless I'm doing it, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. Anyone else? Yes. I feel like school. It's just little note cards. I promise you, it's scribble. It's scribble. But you can't have it. It's scribble. Most importantly, you'll have it as you just study God's Word. God teaches you.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
After
I left, they came back. Mm-hmm. After I left. Yes. She says, "Yeah." She says, "I'm nicer when I'm preparing a message." She actually has been asking me to prepare more. Must have forgot to focus on my own walk. Anyone else? No, let's close in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you that you call us to minister. You are the very reason, foundation of ministry, if it's to be true ministry. God, help us. Stand out of the way to long for you and to long to share you with others. And let all that we do be done for your glory. And out of love, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.